And welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester. This is
Samuel Bradley, Esquire.
And welcome to the show that not only provides you with the dungeons, but also the dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons not included.
That's got me. I like that. Sammy boy. Right, listen, son. I have been obviously recently developing my career as a... I'm lost. I haven't thought this out, Sam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, everyone's like, ever. You've mugged me right off.
Everyone's like, oh, I wonder what interesting story Ed'll come up with this week to try and introduce the bloody socials. But I've got nothing.
Don't worry. Let a professional save the job. Unbelievable. You can find all our shows at starterset.co.uk. You can also find extra starter set content, clips from the show, little pictures about what we're doing, and all that sort of stuff at Starter Set Show on Twitter and Facebook, and Starter Set Podcast on Instagram. That's how a grown-up does it.
Yes.
I so rarely get to be up here on the high ground. It's nice. I feel like I might get a nosebleed.
You really have the high ground as I try and jump over you, but lose both of my legs and half an arm, and then I hate you as I'm burning in some lava. That's a Star Wars reference there, everybody.
I watched that the other day.
Yeah.
And I was screaming at the TV. Just go in, just roll him in. It's like 2 foot. He's there.
Just push him over.
Just look away, put a pillow over it, and just click that zoom button through the eye and into the back of the head.
It is,
and that's
true.
It. And then they go back and Yoda's like, oh, I lost against the Emperor. Don't worry. The other fella's dead. It's cool. We'll go and do him together.
I would argue that Obi-Wan's walking away from Anakin is actually more of an evil act than leaving him to live. Speaking of evil acts, Sam, I brought it back, baby. We are continuing our series. Bang! One shots. That's right.
Oh.
Thank you. Where this week we are going to have and take a little bit of a deep dive into the realm of evil. That's right. I'm talking about a one shot where you play as evil characters. Now, a few ground rules for doing this. And this is probably more a show linked towards DMs out there. Okay? A little bit of player kind of interaction in terms of expect this from your DMs and be okay with it, because you kind of have to, okay? Number one, when you're playing an evil game... Well, first of all, let me just actually talk about what an evil game is, just in case, just to set those boundaries and parameters. This is where you all collectively as a group are playing as evil characters. And I'm talking about evil characters within the Dungeons & Dragons alignment chart, okay? Now, obviously, we can go down the, but he's just misunderstood sort of route or whatever that is, but I'm talking categorically. You've come together and said, let's be bad guys, okay?
So when we're talking about evil characters and those that sit on the evil spectrum, I don't think it just means like, oh, you have to play a bugbear, you have to play a goblin, you have to play a kobold or whatever. You can play regular characters, regular playable races, but their intent is evil.
Oh, yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, categorically. And some classes actually lean towards playing those easier. And we'll get into that. So we'll break it down. We'll do a little bit of DMing sort of things, and then we'll go out into players and how you can kind of bring those out as a player and have some ideas to sort of explore. So before we go into this, number one, first thing you have to do is set your boundaries, right? Now, if you're going to be playing an evil campaign, it's likely that you may broach some things that for some of the players are potentially taboo or too much, too further on that front. So definitely only do this with people and players who you trust, you feel comfortable with, and know that if things get to a point where you're not comfortable and you're not happy, you can kind of go, can we just shift away from this, and know that everyone at the table will be okay with that.
Because even role-playing genocide is still a sort of genocide.
And yeah.
It's a game. It's got to be fun. It's like... It's just keeping things at a pace where... Because obviously when you're playing as good characters, mm-hmm. you can really do no wrong. I know that sounds stupid. Allow me to explain. You can't be too good. You can't save too many people. You can't liberate too many villages. But when you're bad and it comes to the point where, oh yeah, we want to capture that building. How are we going to go in? Well, we're all level 10, so we could just, you know, genocide this entire village.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
There is going to be some people that aren't as comfortable fitting that into their fantasy worldview as others.
Yeah, exactly. And that plays into a little bit of the types of games that you can run, right? So first of all, get that out of the way. Now, my advice as a DM, because typically evil characters, the things that define them, they are driven by purely selfish reasons, typically, right? Now, this is the, I want to basically enforce my will and my thought process onto the world. I don't agree with the world the way it is. It should be this way. And I will back that up with force, right? That is categorically what in those scenarios typically an evil individual is. Okay, zero empathy, and it's all about the self. Now, unless you're potentially chaotic evil, which you kind of have to control a little bit, and that's where you've kind of got to work with your DM. But what that means is, I would prepare, especially if it's a one shot, a unifying series of events that can move the party all in the same direction, okay?
Like, we have to rob a bank. We have to steal something. We have to suicide squad this. We have been brought together because we're shitty people who are going to do shitty things, but we're going to do it to kill an even shittier person. It's not like playing an evil campaign doesn't have to be, ooh, we're going to be a faction of evil elves that are going to conspire to steal the mineral rights from a small developing nation. You know, like real governments.
Yeah, sure. I mean, an evil campaign and an evil one-shot is a slightly different thing. But what I mean is we're talking about several objectives that are different but will appear throughout a story, okay? So, yes, there's that unifying fact, but... Let's say it's rob a bank, okay, is the main objective that you as a DM or rob a dwarven mine, you know, that's the main thing that you as a DM want them to do. But ultimately, you're giving secretly each other character something that they specifically want from the bank.
Ooh,
okay?
I like
that. So they get to, it's almost like you get to a clinch point and then you know it's going to go a little bit sideways. Because 9 times out of 10, evil campaigns or one-shots end with PC-on-PC violence, okay?
Obviously, it's kind of like the bank job at the beginning of The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Remember that, where they all have to kind of kill each other as they go through?
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's exactly that. So that's a large part of the managing of expectations as well, and why you should only do this with a group of players that you trust and you're okay with. Because if you do it with a stranger, you could do something a little wrong. And, you know, eventually somebody could get that annoyed with you that they decide to use their D4s as caltrops and just throw them at your feet and take your shoes and run away with them.
It's also like, if you have a new player and they come in and it's like, it does get to PC on PC.
Oh, yeah.
As good a DM as you are, it can be like, right, well, somebody's got to cut the new guy's throat.
Yeah, and that is a horrible experience.
And that's the final mission. And as a new player coming in, I don't think I'd be okay with that. Like, I remember the first time I ever played D&D, it was a very welcoming affair.
Yes.
No one tried to cut my throat.
Which is categorically, you know, one of the objectives that you want to have on your first Dungeons & Dragons session.
It also kind of helps, I think, when making an evil one-shot especially, I mentioned the Suicide Squad earlier, but... And I really can't stress this enough. It doesn't have to be a, right, we're going to go in and murder a load of gnomes. It can be still really fun to be bad. You know, it's good to be bad. Look at something like Ocean's 11. George Clooney and whoever else is in that, everyone's in that, they're not the good guys. No. They're the bad guys, but we root for them anyway. You know, you don't have to be like, oh yeah, you just got to be a bunch of shitheads and do really comically atrocious things just to get it out of your system, yeah. Because it just becomes therapy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So with that, I mean, let's talk into the styles of one-shots that you could potentially run or be part of, and then we'll talk about players. So the ones that sort of triggered in my mind, and the one that I think would be quite classically fun, is to play what I describe as the Dick Dastardlies. Okay, now we're talking about a series of bad guys, recurring bad guys, and you make it a little bit cartoony, who get together to take out that one hero. Okay, you know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. becoming part of the Sinister Six.
The Sinister Six. I was just gonna say that. It sounds like that. Yeah,
but with a slightly comical twist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Goddamn dungeon boys foiled me once again, and then you mm-hmm. you know, and then you run through that. So that's a little game that you can kind of explore, and in that one it's sort of that slapstick evil elements. Okay, so yes, summoning undead isn't considered like a terrible thing, and maybe, you know, your skeleton pops up and he plays a funny thing on his xylophone chest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one side of things. You've also got that element where you kind of just take the good guy trope, right? Go and gather mm-hmm. these artifacts and to save the world. Instead, it's go and gather these artifacts to destroy the world or subdue the world, right?
Yeah. You could kind of flip that on its head, though, couldn't you? Because you could have them doing a load of really horrible things to get these artifacts. You know, they smash up the museum to steal the pearl, and then they, you know, they kill the grandmother to take the, I don't know, scepter, sure. whatever. But then they put all these together, and that awakens something that's actually really bad. And if you play it like that sort of comical Dick Dastardly, why are you order? And then it's like, oh, you've unleashed Cthulhu.
Sure, okay.
And he's going to drown everyone. You can maybe give them a little bit of redemption
so
in that one.
So that's the anti-villain, right? That is the anti-villain storyline. Is that one shot of... It's either a redemption element of these bad guys, or it's, you know, it's really riding that grey area of that neutral or lawful evil kind of thing. Because they've gone into prison, right? Which means they accept the system as it is. So they've been, you know, you've been handcuffed or whatever, and you've spent 10 years, and they go, do you want to earn years off your sentence? You're going, all right, this is the system that I'm in. I don't agree with it, but right now I'll follow it for now. Until it doesn't go with what I want, and then I'll slip into my chaotic points, which could be, not chaotic, neutral points, which could be just a neutral element or neutral. You know, it's, true neutral is what all the cool kids are doing these days.
Yeah, because it makes you more of a realistic character, because you are reacting only to what happens around you, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. The quest for... And this is quite a good one, right? Which is the overall bad guy singular... and this one you have to do with probably quite an experienced dungeon master and quite experienced players... which is separate objectives which could actually interlock with each other and come to loggerheads again, okay? So, and this is going to start going into my, these are good classes to play to go onto evil and dip into evil, because there's points behind them, right?
Yeah.
First three very obvious ones, clerics, warlocks, paladins, because their points of evil, brackets, it's not technically them. It's their god or patron.
Yeah. And they're kind of bound to it because they are bound to those things for their powers, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, exactly. So if you're a cleric of death, and you know you worship I can't remember a a god of death now, an evil god of death, because there's technically good ones as well, you know, I mean, where all things mm-hmm. that are dead yeah. should die kind of things, rather, yeah. you know, who despise the undead and things like that. We're talking about evil clerics and evil paladins who
mm-hmm.
basically gain their powers from an evil entity, right? As well as the obvious warlock point.
Great old one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. so they're really easy from a player's perspective just to flip into that, okay? The ones...
Rogues, I guess. Rogues make good sense. They can be naturally evil because you have the whole assassins thing in the player's handbook.
Yep.
That also lends itself quite well. I think things get fuzzy around, like, barbarians and fighters because they're kind of just neutral skills in and of themselves.
Yeah.
It's how you choose to use them. It's like the Mandalorian is kind of a bad guy and a good guy, an anti-hero, if you will,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because he chooses to employ his skills the way he employs skills. He's not really at the behest of anyone anymore, if you've got into the second season of that.
Yeah, so they can... The fighters and barbarians, I think they're easier to get to the evil side of things, but there's definitely something that is almost, I don't know, the pursuit of what they are. Even though that barbarian has that rage, a lot of that rage is... And when you look at it, the way that they get their powers through their rage, except maybe the berserker, there's always kind of a natural and or honouring of the gods or of natural sources, which brings me on to my next point, which is it's difficult to get or to drag easily, I think, evil, natural-based classes. So we're talking druids, rangers, and a little bit of the monks in the way that they kind of... It's chi, it's life force, it's... it's key, sorry, and it's all that. And that kind of is embodies... You can, of course you can do it, and you don't really have to back up these characters because it's a one-shot and they'll be dead, you know, in 4 hours.
It's a meat grinder, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What else is quite a good trope? Ah, this one I do like. And we've seen this explored in various board games as well. For instance, Boss Monster, which is a fantastic game where you are basically a boss in a video game. You play the boss, you play Bowser, you know what I mean? And you're making a dungeon so that heroes don't get to your treasure.
Kind of like Wreck-It Ralph type feel.
Yes, exactly. So what you do is you flip it on your head, and then as a bunch of PCs, you're going, oh God, they're coming. We shouldn't have stolen this. We've stolen it now. Quick, let's... And it works well for a one-shot because the inevitability is that the heroes obviously break down the door, get into your room. And dependent on what you've set up, if you've got a rogue who's very trappy and tricksy, or, you know, you've put down a few explosive glyphs, the heroes will come in less of a whole state, let's say.
What if you had, like... Okay, hear me out. You had, like, two groups... Two crews of four.
Oh no. Yeah.
One of them playing the hero and one of them playing the villains. And one lays traps for the other, yada yada yada. Maybe they're in a city, we know there's evil here. That would take a lot of work, but it's a hell of a thing. You could easily do it, and then bringing them together at the end of that game could be like, right, you three survive, you meet each other in the town square. Everyone roll for initiative. Let's have it.
I do like that one. That is a good way of doing it, and probably more of a campaign-based experience. But when we're talking about these points, it's definitely a nice way to go. And, I, you know, as part of the show, we obviously do a little bit of research and have a look around and see what others have written. And I read an article that somebody had written on Reddit, you know, which is obviously a very trusted source. But where they done that? And
really?
Yes.
How did that go down?
Well, I don't know. I think if I was in the group that lost 50% of their players, because as soon as you take out, you see what I mean? As soon as you take out one character from another team, the action economy goes out the window. So they are at a considerable disadvantage immediately. So, yeah, and the article I was reading said basically that three of them survived, and then the other crew came out completely unscathed, and two out of the three went and joined the other crew.
The villains join the heroes, and the heroes join the villains?
Heroes were corrupted and joined the villains.
Fucking brilliant. That is exactly what I want from a villain one shot.
Yeah. Yeah, which is quite a fun way to do it. And definitely it's a nice way to explore what happens if you're good for too long, then you become a hero. You know what I'm trying to say.
The Batman quote.
Yeah, that Batman quote. What's the Batman quote, Sam?
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Thank you. That's it. Brilliant. I'm going to cut out half of that of me mumbling my way through there. yeah, so it gets you to explore that. Now, there is obviously the darker side of everybody's human nature, which is there. You can go very dark, very heavy, and really intense. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why you do this bit as a one shot. Because
this is where you take over the paper in that city, and you get them to run smear campaigns against the heroes so that they might either corrupt themselves or be unsupported when the final fight arrives. You know, like real governments.
I think, have you been reading sort of counter-government based articles today, no. Sam? What's going on, man? There's been
for
too
legal
many
purposes,
those.
No.
Brilliant. No. Right, fine, I agree, sure, that statement does exist, but what I'm talking about the bad guys and playing the bad guys who don't give a damn about heroes or anything like that. All they want to do is what they want to do, and anything that gets in the way doesn't matter. Do I need 1,000 slaves to build my pyramid? Yes, I do. I am going to go and enslave those people over there, right? Or do I need 1,000,000 souls to fill up my life-giving machine? Yes, I do. Right, I need to build a dirty bomb.
That is hardcore, but I'd play it.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the reason why potentially you can only do these as one shots, because also, if one person is building a magical dirty bomb and they set it off, it's quite likely that the rest of the party is still going to be, you know, in the blast radius. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, unless you pop up like Liamon's tiny hut or something like that.
That's a good way to get out of it.
You just pop up the dime. One thing I do like is maybe you could build another redemption story. I didn't think I'd be bringing so many redemption stories. I'm a pretty bad guy. Joking, of course. You can start with, okay, so you're this villain. You've been kicked out of hell.
Mm.
You find yourself nearly mortal in this barn, and you are found by a young gnome child. That's how it begins.
That's quite nice.
Or your squad are sort of cast out of Mount Olympus, and you have to, kind of like the way we talked about how doppelgangers would take over a town or something like that, one by one. And it builds and it builds until you're doing worse things to increasingly nice people. Which one of them snaps first?
That's one of those ones where you've got a full day of it, right? That's a full day of...
Yeah,
of playing. What I do like about that, though, is the kicked out of bad guy club, right? For whatever, you know, we look towards the Nine Hells and we go, right, instead of player characters, or all you player characters were at some point high-level devils.
Mm-hmm.
And you fucked up big time. You left the soul gate open and we lost like 3,000 souls.
We saw you giving money to the Red Cross. We're not happy.
The soul stock market dropped 3 points because of your actions. And you're fired. And we're demoting you, and you're all quasits. And then you all get released into the world as tiny little quasits, and you have to do increasingly evil things to basically get yourself back up to, you know, a ultimate. It's kind of like, weirdly like playing first-person Pokemon, because you're trying to basically evolve yourself
level
through
up.
Evil deeds.
Yeah. At like 10:30, you'll be telling young Timmy, the gnome, that you'll get a lollipop if he brings you that magic orb they found. And then somewhere around 4:30, you'll be poisoning the water supply.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Exactly. But this, but that's quite, that's again, that's that nice, fun evil, right? Where, and but the thing is, as a closet at the beginning, you're so squishy. So, you know, you'll run out and you'll be like, I'm going to steal your apple pie. And then the you know, cook with solid arms comes out and just gives you a great quack crack across the head with it. Yeah, exactly. And then you return to the Nine Hells, much like sort of a Little Nicky style. Poof! And then the guy turns around and goes, what are you doing back here already? Get back up there. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know. Fine. And poof, back up again you go and you can try again.
And that could run nicely countenance to the redemption story, because when you're like level 10 again, you meet that same cook and you just peel him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wonderful. Right. I think we've yammered on enough about this element. Shall we bring the show to some sort of resemblance of a close?
Let's do it, buddy.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have been our listeners. We have been Starter Set. If you have enjoyed the show, on whichever platform that you are currently listening to, do please give us a like or a share or a comment or, you know, whatever you can do to kind of get the show out there. We very much appreciate it. We have been Starter Set. You have been our listeners. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
I've got another gangy phrase for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is gangy for the politicians might work for us, but we're controlled by the media, and the media is controlled by rich elites that are friends with the politicians. Do you want to know what that is? A gangy gangy!
Great. Now, this is just a platform for your political fucking...
How dare you?
Flag waving.
How dare you?